Hey, everyone. This is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. Our guest this week will be a guy who should be highly sought after later on this month when the NFL free agency period opens. He is Denver Broncos safety Justin Simmons. He will join us. Justin was a second-team Associated Press All-Pro, and for as good as he is on the field, man, I found him to be just such an awesome dude to talk to. He's certainly a high character guy. He was a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. So we're going to hear from Justin coming up. And I love his boldness. I've always talked about being bold, and we've talked about being bold in our faith. And he calls himself in his Twitter bio an imperfect and unworthy follower of Jesus saved by grace. So much humility, so much honesty in that statement. All of us Christians can characterize ourselves the same way, imperfect,
totally,
and unworthy followers of Christ who are saved by grace. And Justin also says that he is no different. He goes, I'm no different than anyone else that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. The only thing that I recognize is that I recognize that I need him. Mm-hmm. I want him, and I need him in my life, because without his blood covering me, I'm no good. When you listen to those words, such a powerful statement.
Yes.
And there's so much truth in it that I love. I want to talk about how we are all imperfect, and that's okay. Because only Jesus was perfect.
Yeah, you got that
and
right.
We will never measure up to the standard that Christ, the example that he set forth for us, is an example to try and emulate, to try and mimic, to try and replicate. We're not gonna be like Jesus Christ every day, 24/7, 365 days a year. There are going to be moments where, because we are imperfect people,
broken,
we fail. But we can most certainly try our best to, and you know, I hope that we all want to try our best to live like him, to love like him, to forgive like him. So that can make us imperfectly perfect.
Yes.
You know, we're not perfect, but we could be imperfectly perfect. Paul says in Philippians 3:12, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me.
Yes.
Knowing that we are not perfect, that we are sinful, that we have sinful, selfish desires, doesn't mean we should be content really living our life that way, because we know, well, I'm already forgiven.
Right.
It takes all our energy, and really beyond our energy, our focus really, and a whole lot of hard work to try to be like Christ. And what Paul's saying here is we have to put aside those distractions, but also put aside anything that can harm our relationship with Christ. And that means sometimes other relationships, other friendships, other work opportunities, whatever it may be that can harm that relationship with Christ, that's going to derail us on this journey with him, and press on and continue. And I think if you read Philippians 3:12 and continue to read it, it really appeals to the athlete, right?
Yeah,
as you're running, as you're running a marathon.
Yep.
But as I look at that, you know, putting aside those distractions, putting aside whatever can harm my relationship with the Lord, I'm not perfect, but I can't just be content saying, okay, I'm not perfect. I'm just gonna live this way. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm a believer. I'm going to sin. I'm going to do different things that are not going to be aligned with the vision of the Lord, and be content with that. Because if we're content with that, it goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago. We're not maturing in our growth.
Yeah, correct.
We're not maturing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're not maturing as Christians.
Yeah. I mean, look, Paul says that we are broken vessels, right?
Yeah.
So, there's something powerful about being a broken vessel, because what's inside of you then should come out of you. And, when it's God that's inside coming out, That's a beautiful thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think, Rob, you just used a really good analogy in this, and it's something for us to see. if you know, the picture of what Paul's talking about is this great big water pots that they used to contain water in. And he said, look, we're all cracked. We're all broken. Right. But if you owned one of those, you wouldn't leave it broken. You'd start to glue those things back together. Mm-hmm. So that's the majority process in us, is putting us back together. Even while we're being put back together, mm-hmm. there's still holes, so we still leak, right? So like, that's the thing. Like the reality is, when we allow God to put us back together, and this is the tension we have to live in, the now but not yet fully. I am fully accepted in Jesus Christ for who I am. I am made perfect in Him. As He is seated in heaven, where I am as well, in the Spirit. But in the reality of day to day life, I'm still being put back together by the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God. Right. And so that's the tension that you're talking about. I have to be okay and find my acceptance mm-hmm. and my worth in the fact that I am His regardless of who I am, mm-hmm. but not be so satisfied with who I am that I don't allow the Spirit of God to sanctify me, to put me back together, to work on those things. And when I fail in those moments, don't give the devil a foothold with shame and guilt. Just immediately go back, right? When I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me every time and to cleanse me of those things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I want to stop you right there because you said something I think is so powerful. Don't give the devil a foothold with shame.
Yes.
I think sometimes that's where it grabs us, right? We mess
100%.
Up. 100%.
Yeah.
And our shame takes over.
Yes.
And our guilt takes over, and now we feel we are unworthy of the presence of God. I know. Correct. I did. I know that I went through this in my life where I felt unworthy of the presence of God to the point where sometimes I would go to church or back where I used to go would be mass. Yeah. And I would sit there in tears because I felt unworthy of God's presence to then eventually not going anymore because I felt so unworthy because the shame of how I was living my life. How do we get out of that?
Yeah, well, look, shame has a voice, right? Yes. It has a voice, and it speaks very loudly, because when shame speaks, it connects with what we already believe about ourselves. So, right? So it's not saying something that we don't already believe. It's two touching something in agreement. Yeah. It's just a negative agreement over our life. So how do we break a negative agreement? We get in agreement with something else. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's what we have to come back to and bring that back to repent. Father, forgive me for this thing. So it's the recognition that how I responded was wrong. Acknowledgement that He's cleansing this, and then taking that voice of acceptance and allowing it to be spoken in, so that our ears now are open for the Holy Spirit to say, all right, baby, let me tell you now why. All right, son or daughter, let me help you why this actually you gave into that. Mm-hmm. And shame, in my opinion, is probably one of the greatest tools of the enemy. Yeah. If you look at the fall, Adam and Eve fell, and the first thing that the Bible says, shame. And they looked at their situation and they felt shame. And shame keeps us from intimacy with one another.
Yeah.
And shame will always keep us with intimacy with our Father.
It's a lie. It's all a lie. Shame is a lie. And the devil does that so much to keep us trapped in this little area that can control so much. See, everything around us, if we would just think of it this way, everything is inside your head between your ears.
Yeah.
And if you would just perfect your thoughts a little bit every single day, work on your thought process every single day, and get the truth of God inside your heart, a lot of things are going to shift. Because sometimes we fall into that trap, the imperfectly perfect trap, where we go, I'm imperfectly perfect, and therefore I'm going to use it as a crotch and just keep sinning.
Correct.
And just keep being shameful and just keep being deceitful, and the enemy would just keep lying to you and lying to you about being imperfect. And you keep telling yourself, well, I'm imperfect. I can't change this.
Right.
I can't help it. I really hate this person. I can't help it. This is just what just comes out when I see them, or this is what comes out when this happens, you know. And then you keep telling yourself, you actually believe the lie that you are imperfect.
Yeah.
And yes, you are imperfect in a sense, but Christ died on a cross to help you with that process, to sanctify you, to renew your mind every single day, so you don't fall into that trap every single day and just keep telling yourself, I'm imperfect, so I'm just going to keep doing this over and over and over. And then, so what's new now? So what changed? After you just give your life to Christ, what has changed for you? You have got to work on your thought process. I do it every single day because it's so hard. Every day, Lord, please renew my mind. Please renew my mind. Please renew my mind.
So I can know the will of God.
The will of God for me.
Yes, correct.
Because if I don't renew my mind, nothing else works. Nothing else works.
Because transform my mind.
What you see with your eyes and what is really there around you in the realm of the spirit is completely different. Mm-hmm. There's two different stories happening. So you have to keep believing for what you don't see with your eyes. Kind of like faith. Well, you believe God is there. Jesus is there. You believe that it's a belief system, right? More than anything, it's a belief system.
Yeah.
And it's also a heart matter. Of course, you believe that in your soul that that is what God has for you so much more than what you see with your eyes. Mm-hmm. So you have to always believe, God, I trust you with just doing the most mundane things, the most perfect way, because it's so hard for me to do them perfectly, but I'm imperfect. So I need you to renew my mind to do things the way you want me to do them not necessarily the way I see them working out in my life. I mean, it's just hard. Every day is hard.
Paul says in Romans 7, why do I always do what I don't want to do? We've talked about this a thousand times on the show, right? Why? Well, because there is this brokenness inside of me. But he doesn't stop there.
No.
Right? That's what you're saying. He's not saying, well, just because this is a reality, I'm okay with it.
Right.
He says, who will save me from the wicked man that I am? No one but the Lord Christ Jesus, right? It's it. So there is shame always connects us to who we were in our past.
Yeah.
The spirit always connects us to who we really are in the present, right? Wow. So it's like you're gonna listen to one of those voices, either the spirit of God or the voice of shame. Voice of the spirit or the voice of shame. And it's, you know, the spirit of God. Jesus did not deny who the thief on the cross was at that moment and what he did. He didn't have to do any of that. He only told him who he was going to be.
Exactly.
He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. So he didn't look at the man and go, look, I know all the things you've done, and let's recount those things. Yeah. The voice of the Savior only speaks about who we are in him and who we will be as we walk that out. Mm-hmm. So shame has no part in the place of a man or woman of faith. It happens all the time.
Right.
We talk about it all the time at Connect, like at church, shame, don't be afraid of their faces, right? God says to Jeremiah, it brings negativity, it keeps us in the darkness. Anything kept in the darkness brings disaster. So we got to bring everything into the light and just let it be.
I'm going to tell you and get a little personal here how shame allowed me, because it was hidden shame. My shame was hidden because no one knew that I felt shameful about my pattern of behavior.
Yes.
And what it enabled me to do was continue that cycle, because I felt, well, this is who I am. This is what I do. I go and I run around from one unfaithful relationship to another.
Right.
And I've already committed this sin. I am already in this cycle of sin. So why stop now? So I just it allowed me to continue that for year upon year, until finally what I always say is Jesus saved me from myself, from my pattern of self-destructive behavior. He finally grabbed hold of me, and in my moment of surrender, and I finally was able to break that pattern of shame to where I no longer continue to wallow in that same pit of misery and go, well, this is okay. I'm imperfect, and I'm going to keep on being imperfect because this is what people know me as. This is what people see me as.
Yep.
And how there was a time where I said, well, how could I ever change anyone's perception of me? They're always going to think of me this way. So I just might as well, this is trying to justify the behavior, right?
Yep.
I might as well just continue. Well, nobody will ever, and here we are now 10 years later.
Yes.
Right? This is 2020.
Come on.
This is now 10 Praise years later. And while there are still some people who don't really know me over the past 10 years, most of everyone, through the visibility I have in my platforms, have come to see who I am and how Christ has changed me.
Yeah.
Man hasn't changed me. Christ has changed me. And that's become such a valuable part of my testimony. What I went through, the shame that I lived with, how the shame continued to enable that pattern of behavior, and how Christ ultimately grabbed hold of me and the Holy Spirit pulled me in.
Yep.
And man, I talk about that with so much passion, because I didn't even know I was going to go there in this.
That's the thing.
I didn't even know we were going to go there in this episode this week. But as we're talking about imperfectly perfect, I'm just thinking there and what you guys are mentioning, I'm like, wow, that it just really hit me.
There's one healing moment for, there's only one thing that will heal shame. It's the covering of Jesus. Mm-hmm. How did Adam and Eve, they looked at each other. They were ashamed because they were naked. Yeah. God shed the blood of an animal in the garden. Right. And clothe them with the sacrifice.
Right.
Is only recognizing, Rob, that our being clothed in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not, I am no longer a slave to sin. Galatians 5:1, right? Yes. It's for freedom that Christ came to set me free, so I'm no longer a slave. Here's the reality. Mm-hmm. When we walk with Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are simply people who stumble into sin. Those two things are very different. What you would describe, this cycle where in my mind, I can't help it. This is who I'm always going to be. This is what I'm always going to do. Slavery to sin.
Mm-hmm.
My imperfection causes me to stumble in sin all the time, right? Just because I stumble. But there's a difference between a slave and a stumbler. Yeah. And and when we can get that, the answer is still the same, right? Mm-hmm. The answer is still the blood of Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. But how I identify myself is completely different.
Oh, man, I love that. Mm-hmm. There's so much in this interview that I want to talk about, and there's a little bit more. Justin, he came across to me as such a mature. We talked about mature Christians early, you know, and how we can grow in our faith. So mature at such a young age.
It's absolutely.
It's a beautiful, amazing thing. And we got into a little bit of a conversation about, and this one really hits home for me because sometimes in certain circles, right, there's a negative connotation in this world about Christianity.
Yep.
And when you hear the term religion put out there, people want to move away from religion.
Yep.
And I get that because I often talk about, it's to me, it's no longer about religion. It's about relationship with the Lord. But as Justin mentioned, one of the first terms that some people will use to describe Christians is hypocrisy, being a hypocrite. And we talked about this a couple episodes ago, how not wanting to be a hypocritical Christian is about realizing or having concern for what people think of you, but not wanting to be hypocritical because you want to align with what Christ wants for you. It's a little different. How do we change that perception? Because I don't think I can change the perception of hypocritical Christians. I don't think you can. I don't think you can. I think we all have to do our own part to try and be as genuine in our faith, to try as best as we possibly can be ambassadors for Christ. And if people are going to view imperfect people as hypocrites, there's nothing that we can really do about it other than to continue to try and shine his light and spread his word. So how do we flip it? Is it even possible to flip?
Is it flippable?
I mean, I'm never responsible for the way someone else responds to a situation. I'm only responsible for the character I respond in that situation. And so, Rob, I think the answer to that is a yes and a no.
Yeah.
I think when we look at it from a world perspective, a macro world perspective, I think as the church matures and as the church made up of people matures, then that begins to shape differently. But in our world, in our micro world, can we change that? Absolutely. I think that we have a opportunity through love. Like, love's the greatest conqueror of all things.
Yes.
So if we love our neighbor as ourselves, if we pray for those who persecute us and love love the neighbor around us as Jesus, like, actually commanded us to do, and there's actual responses out of fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all those things that come out when we move in the Spirit of God. No, I think you plant seeds and they absolutely grow. So I think in a macro world, Rob, Remy, and Kyle change the way everybody views Christianity? No.
No.
But in my micro world, in the people in my life, I have a responsibility to be a light in the midst of their darkness. I'm still not responsible for the reaction, right? Because that's what ends up happening. A lot of times I try to control a reaction, and therefore I jeopardize my character. Mm-hmm. Right. So I want to make sure that they don't think I'm too harsh. So I don't speak the word. Right. I don't want them to think that I'm judgmental. So yeah. I don't actually stand on truth. No, my job, my responsibility as a man or woman of faith is for us to be able to say, I'm not responsible for their reaction, mm-hmm. but I am responsible for my character in the midst of any circumstance.
I think it's also very difficult, right? Because, when somebody judges Christians and says they're hypocrites, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're talking from like a political point of view.
Correct.
A lot of times it comes.
Well, it's all 100%.
It's
yes.
coming from that, and you're going, I'm just going with what the Bible is saying in the moment.
Correct.
Like, it's not necessarily that I'm trying to be political or politically correct. I'm just trying to say that this is my point of view according to the Bible. So you can't necessarily change their perspective about that because they don't even know what the Bible says.
Right.
So, but it's so easy to
or
judge.
Or agreeing that it is God's word.
Right. Or agreeing with you that it's God's word. So this is definitely not something you can change.
Yes.
And you cannot take that upon yourself to say, oh, I'm going to change the world. Like, you just have to pray for them to just know what the word of God is saying about that particular topic. But when it comes to personal life, sometimes it's challenging for me because sometimes I know what the word says, but I'm doing something different because in the moment it's comfortable.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So it's kind of like there's so many views to hypocrisy, I guess.
Agreed.
And can we change the world? I guess we can, as you were saying, in our very own little world, we can maybe
influence people, no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, but there is, you can't necessarily change everything and you can't help it sometimes. What are you going to do? People can't change overnight. And you just have to keep praying that people come to know Christ the way we know Christ, and hopefully we also get to know Christ in a way where we're not hypocrites in our own little world and not respond in a way that's hypocritical. But it's just difficult. It's a difficult topic, really.
You guys had me thinking, and as you're talking, I'm looking for this particular back and forth exchange I had on Twitter the other day with someone, and I've often talked about, like, I don't like to respond in negative ways, and, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's difficult, but sometimes it becomes so rewarding when you see an exchange like this. And I came on, I was on a Friday night a couple weeks back, mm-hmm. and I was ranting about Sixers fans, some sensitivity about Sixers fans because Joel Embiid was booed in a game, and I posted that there was a mixture of boos, but mostly cheers, and then people who were sitting at home on their couch started to come at me saying, you're lying, there was no boos.
Ooh,
like,
what?
Yeah, as if sitting there in the fifth row, I couldn't hear the boos. Whereas other
you made them up.
Yeah, other media personalities, other media people even said, I said a mixture of boos, but mostly cheers. Some said more boos, whatever it was.
Yeah. Right.
It definitely happened.
But there were boos in the
press. There were boos. So I never respond to trolls, but it like when you're going to question my credibility.
Yeah. That's a character moment.
Right?
I agree.
Right. So I waited 3 days till I was on the air, and I led my opening of the show with it, to which someone on Twitter quickly responded with a vulgar term, and then said, "I'm trying my hardest to get past." He said, "You're terrible on the ears."
Okay, thanks.
My rant. So, to which I usually don't do this, but I looked at his profile picture and saw this beautiful little girl sitting in his lap. So all I did was I said, "Thanks."
Yeah.
I addressed him by name and I said, "That's super nice of you. God bless you and that little girl. I got two daughters myself. It's the greatest gift in the world." Surprisingly, he responded to that with, "I had a terrible work day," followed up by the wife and dinner, plans rushing around. "Sorry, Rob. I appreciate the tweet back."
Wow.
And I just replied with all love.
Come on.
Right? And to be able to spin what a guy's attacking me and telling me whatever into we just a quick...
Brilliant.
A quick exchange like that to spin that.
Yep.
I thought, like, man, when we are professing our faith so boldly, if I am to come back at him with something like retaliatory, what do I look like? I don't care.
It's all ego.
But again,
like, where would we respond out of ego? Yeah.
But what does it look like? Jesus was love, man.
Yeah.
Jesus was all about love.
Right.
And if I want to continue to just like be the best ambassador I can be, I have to love on those people.
Agreed.
I have to love, as hard as it is sometimes, I have to find a way to love on anyone who wants to attack me.
Yes.
And find a common ground. Man, I got two little daughters. He's got a little daughter sitting there in his lap. He's certainly proud to be a dad. I'm proud to be a dad. Let's just meet on that common ground. And if you think that me ranting about the Sixers fans is hurting your ears, I apologize for that. Yeah. But we can move on past
right.
that.
And, well, I don't want to say sports yeah. fans.
You know, and, but that
no, it, I get it.
It is what it is.
I get it.
But there are moments where we can do this in our lives, right?
Yes, correct.
Where we can, yeah, I can't change the world.
I can't change everybody, but no, I can influence somebody.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to change the worldview of Christians. Right. I'm not going to change the world's view of right. sometimes where we may come across as hypocritical.
Right.
But in my own little world,
yes,
in my own little sphere, in my own little, with my platform, I can use it to try and be a positive influence as best I can.
Rob, you know, I challenge our ministry leaders all the time about our opportunity is to remove all the barriers we can from someone encountering Jesus. But the gospel's offensive. So the Bible says the gospel's offensive. So I'll never apologize for the gospel being offensive, but I need to make sure that I'm not the one who is offensive before they get to the gospel. So, you know, when we wrestle with certain things, you know, this week we had this amazing roundtable talking about relationships and how to have healthy relationships, right? At all of our campuses. It was beautiful. It was fantastic. But what ended up happening was, there are things that I have to say, not that I have to say, but that the word says about how to have relationships that our world would disagree with.
Yeah.
So if the people are going to be offended by the gospel, that's okay with me. But they're going to hear it from love. They're going to hear it from a standpoint of, I'm not coming. I'm not saying you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. You're a horrible person. You're not valuable if you struggle in this areas of relationship. But nor can I affirm the fact that these things are okay because our culture is. But I want people to know from the moment they walk in that I'm going to try to remove all the other barriers to that, right? I want to make sure that they have a smile in the parking lot. I want to make sure that people say hello to them when they walk in the door. I want to make sure that they have nice seats to sit. I want to do all that I can to remove it, but I can't help if the gospel is offensive, because actually Paul says the gospel is going to be offensive, but it's also the only power for salvation.
Right.
I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God for salvation. So what I think at times, this is what I saw this weekend, which is so beautiful. There were things that we had to bring out that we brought out that you're thinking in your mind, our politically correct world is going to be really upset about. And yet at the end of service, when we were praying for people, it was people who were in some of those things that were coming down and saying, I want to be free. Can you pray with me?
Right.
Wow. I want to, so I like it,
that's beautiful.
You know, so I'm not responsible for someone's reaction to the gospel, but I am responsible to remove all the barriers that I bring, that I bring to them of the gospel. Yeah. So
that's what I love about you guys at Connect Church and what you do there. And it starts with you at the top.
Thanks, bro.
It's beautiful.
It is awesome. And we have got to stop being fluffy Christians.
Amen.
Yes, as you were saying, the gospel is a little offensive there. I get that. But it's not in the kind of offensive as in like it hurts your feelings, but it's more like, well, it kind of, sometimes it will hurt your feelings in a way that it will challenge you. It will challenge your thinking. It will challenge the things that you were brought up with. It will challenge the things that
people. You got to surrender.
Yeah, you got to surrender all these things and stop being, we need to stop being fluffy about everything, you know?
You just gave me an idea for an episode.
Fluffy Christians?
Fluffy Christians.
Yes, we should do that. We'll do
that at some point. When we come back, you're going to love this interview. We're going to hear from Justin Simmons. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. Justin Simmons was a third-round pick by the Denver Broncos in 2016. He had his best season as a safety last year, started every game, had four interceptions, 15 passes defensed, 93 tackles, and he was named to the Associated Press's second team All-Pro. He will be a free agent this month, and I certainly expect several teams to be in hot pursuit. As I mentioned earlier, Justin is not just a terrific player, a great player out there on the field, but he is exactly what you want in a guy inside that locker room, high character guy, just a leader, everything that you would put prior high value on. Justin Simmons has, and you'll hear why. I spoke with Justin Simmons at the Super Bowl. Here is that interview. Welcome to the show, Denver Broncos safety Justin Simmons. Justin was second team All-Pro, AP All-Pro this season. That is our award. That's what we hand out there. So congratulations for that. You had an excellent season, 90-plus tackles, 4 interceptions, and you're here as a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, and that's an incredible honor, a prestigious award to win, and you're a guy who's so active in the community there in Denver, and I saw that in 2019 alone, you volunteered over 3,500 minutes. That's a lot of time, 20 different local organizations. It's a lot of work. It's an incredible work that you're doing. What does it mean to you to be able to get out there in the community and do that service?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a tremendous honor to be, an NFL football player, first and foremost, and so for me, I come from a community where, you know, a professional sports player, athlete is, not too common. And, just in the Denver area, you know, I want to go out to their community just like I do at my community and show them, like, I'm nothing special. Right. You know, I didn't do anything special. I may have, you know, an athletic background and I may have some athletic ability, but, I tell you what, there's some people more athletic than me that didn't make it to where I am. For X amount of reasons. So I wanted to, you know, make sure I show my face and, you know, really kind of inspire the younger generation. Not only can you make it here and you can make it here, you know, doing some of the things that I did, but on top of that, you know, how important it is to kind of give back and to show, you know, your appreciation to the community that supports you and all the different things that encompasses. And so, it's just, you know, it's exciting for me. You know, obviously, you know, the award is great in and of itself, but and for all the other 31 guys that are, you know, nominees for their respective teams, they'll tell you the same thing. You know, you do it for so much more than, you know, getting nominated or doing the awards. You know, you're really hoping to change lives, and that's, you know, the biggest reason why you do it.
Well, I know that you come from a background of strong faith, and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you kind of have that servant's heart. Right? Serving other people, like Christ came to earth to serve people. How much of that is a factor for you as you get out there and do this work in the community?
Oh, yeah. You know, you read about in the Bible, you know, Jesus, you know, washed the hands and feet of his disciples. Yeah. And, you know, that always resonates to me because, I mean, we're talking about the only person to walk the earth, you know, blameless and sinless. And yeah, you know, he's on his hands and knees and he's washing the feet of someone that in retrospect is, you know, underneath him, you would say. Like they don't hold the same standards that he holds. And so, but yet he's doing works for them that, you would be like, why? And so for me, and I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but I think a lot of people would say that, you know, as a professional athlete, you know, quote unquote, people that are regular or don't play sports or whatever, aren't on TV as much, would say that they're in some way, shape, or form a tier under you, but that's not the case at all. And when I go out, I may be the only person that someone meets that has a relationship with Jesus. And what I mean by that is I may be the only connection to Jesus that someone may encounter. Right. So I want to make sure that connection is something that they go, I want to have what he has. And it doesn't seem like it's football. It doesn't seem like it's anything but, you know, Jesus. And I want to make sure that I'm introducing the correct way, what a relationship with Jesus looks like and the servitude to that. Because all we can do, in my opinion, you know, one of the biggest things you give to someone is your time. And if I can show how important it is, you know, during my time to just love on people, especially in today's world, I think that's a win in and of itself. And like I said, you know, the only thing I care about, you know, and I talk about all the time with my teammates is, you know, winning souls and Super Bowls. And, that's the biggest thing. You know, I heard that from, I'll never forget. I heard that from our, you know, our director of player personnel in Denver, and that stuck with me, you know, forever. So.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, on your Twitter bio, I love that you do this and you put it out there because you have such a big platform. It says, an imperfect and unworthy follower of Jesus, saved by grace. And you got hashtag Team Jesus. What does it mean to you to be able to have this platform and put that out there so unashamedly, so bold, to be able to say that?
Yeah, I think there are so many things that religion gets almost a negative connotation and some forms, rightfully
well,
so.
I love to say
because
it ain't about religion, man. It's about relationship, right? Because religion tells you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Jesus is about love.
And so that's exactly what that is up there for. It doesn't say Christian and kind of, you know, formulate, even though that's what I would identify with and kind of formulate a stigma of, oh, he's just religious. You know, I don't want to be ashamed of mentioning Jesus, and I don't want to be ashamed of showing that it's about a relationship. And I put, you know, imperfect and unworthy because, you know, a lot of the times when you look up, you know, people's reaction to people that aren't believers or whatever, and their reaction to someone when they run in as a Christian, you know, one of the first two terms that are used are hypocrite.
Yes.
And the other one is judgmental.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to throw that, you know, imperfect and unworthy is because I'm no different than anyone that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. The only thing that I recognize is that I need him. You know, I want him and I need him in my life because, you know, without his blood covering me, you know, I'm no good whatsoever. And so for me, having the platform that I'm super thankful for, I want to make sure that I'm using this not to promote me, not to promote football, not to promote, you know, great values, but just to promote Jesus. And that's it, and everything that I'm doing. And so I'm so thankful for the platform that I do have and being able to do that. And even though football is such a small window in what can be your, you know, professional career, I'm hoping even after that, you know, I'm able to still touch the same amount of lives that I am, you know, during my football career. So
that's beautiful. Well, Justin Simmons, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us here on Radio Row.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. God, I really
bless,
appreciate
brother.
It. God bless.
That was Denver Broncos safety Justin Simmons. He is such a humble follower of Christ. I love his servant's heart. He talks about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, and really all of us can learn such an important lesson from Jesus' humility and how to serve others. It is one of those things where if we think about it and really examine how we are serving other people and serving the kingdom, are we measuring up to that example, that standard that Jesus set for us? You got to have a lot of willingness, right, to do that. Jesus traveled everywhere. He really didn't put any limits. Jesus put no limits on where he went. He didn't care about how tough the conditions are, how grueling the work was going to be. He just went out and served. And we really need to put no limitations on where we go and how we serve. And that doesn't necessarily mean we got to pack our bags. Sometimes we think we have to pack our bags, hit the road, and just go off on a mission trip to a third world country and continue to serve the Lord that way or be in that kind of atmosphere. And that is an incredible experience. Personally, I've never been through it. However, we can serve right there in a tough neighborhood, right there in our little town, right in our city. We can reach out to a homeless person, someone in distress. So it's all about going outside our comfort zone. And I've often talked about the prison ministry example. That I get to go out there and serve in a prison. And it has been a rewarding experience. It is not something that I thought when I first was presented with the opportunity that I would want to do. I certainly wasn't comfortable. It's still a little bit awkward, but that is an example of going into putting no limits and really having no concern for the conditions and just going out there and serving the Lord. And it's great to go on a mission trip. I'm not trying to take anything away from that. If you have the ability to, the opportunity to go on a mission trip, that's certainly a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. But we need to have limit. We need to have willingness and put no limits really on where we want to go and what we want to do. It really requires a lot of persistence to be serving the Lord. We have to make an intentional effort to want to do it. And there's so many different things, you know, in the Bible that it talks about this. Paul tells us in Philippians, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And man, Jesus washing the disciples' feet, that is such a great example of humility that really sets the example for us. And another thing in the interview that I wanted to touch on was Justin talking about winning souls and Super Bowls. And I thought that was such an awesome term, a wonderful phrase. I loved it, and how he wants to use his platform to promote not himself, but Jesus. I love that. I've heard other athletes say that. Carson Wentz comes to mind, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, about using his platform not to promote himself. He gets enough promotion in various ways from the team, from the NFL, from his social media, but to use his platform to promote Jesus. And let's not take it out of context. It's not like we're saying that Jesus needs someone to be a promoter. Jesus doesn't need a publicist. He doesn't need a PR team. However, when you're an athlete, when you have a platform like that and you have a relationship with the Lord and he is so vital to your life, why not share? And I've often said this, you don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to have a platform like I have or like Justin has or like Carson has or like anyone has. It's not about the size of the reach, the size of the audience, or your reach on your platform. It's about our willingness to want to take Jesus to our marketplace. And that's how this show really started. And it was with Pastor Kyle really sitting down with me and saying, why would you walk away from the career that you have? Why would you walk away from being a sports media guy to go full-time into ministry when God blessed you with that platform, those skills, and those talents? Take Jesus to your marketplace. And that's how this show evolved 3 years ago. And I love hearing a guy like Justin Simmons talk about that, using his platform to promote not himself, but Jesus. But I think it's such a beautiful example for every one of us, no matter what we do, no matter what platform we have, right there in our little home, right there in our work environment, right there in our business, right there in our school, in our neighborhood, and in our groups, on our teams, wherever we go, we always have a platform to promote Jesus, to be ambassadors for Christ. And it's all about being willing to do that and being willing to share and not really keeping Jesus to ourselves. We go back to what we've been talking about throughout the show about being imperfectly perfect. We're not perfect people, but it doesn't. And Jesus was the only perfect person, but it doesn't take someone being perfect to talk about Christ. And we are all in our own little way imperfectly perfect. We're going to wrap it up when we come back on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show since we started way back in 2017. There's over 100 episodes, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. We are also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. We would really appreciate it if you would take a few minutes to subscribe to the Faith on the Field podcast, rate it, and review it. We love hearing from all of our listeners. And personally, I got to tell you, I can't thank you enough for sending so many notes of appreciation for what we do here. It really is very encouraging to read your messages. So thank you. We love to hear from you. We truly appreciate it. Tell your friends, share it out. Thank you so much. If you don't already, You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook. We're at Faith on the Field. You can sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media. I love connecting with everyone. I'm at Rob Maddi, M-A-A-D-D-I, on all my social platforms except Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Maddi. Remy is at Remy Maddi, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll also let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we've got coming up if you want to come out to see us. Always love meeting people at the various events. I am so blessed to do a ton of work that I love in sports media, and I'm incredibly, just so very passionate, as I'm sure you can tell by this show, about sharing my message of finding victory and finding peace, finding fulfillment in Christ, taking Jesus to my marketplace. I'm so grateful that I've had amazing opportunities on many stages over the past couple of years. So many wonderful people have brought me in to be a speaker at their event or to host their event. I've hosted events with Tim Tebow, several with Carson Wentz, with Doug Peterson, Zach Ertz, Jordan Hicks. I've had the opportunity to, the privilege really, to speak to audiences of thousands. And I've had the opportunity to speak to smaller, intimate settings, and of course, continue to minister to inmates in prisons as part of the Deacon's Prison Ministry. My goal at the start of 2020 was to be more available so I can reach even more people. And now that football season, the grind of the football season is over and I'm refreshed, I'm relaxed from coming back and covering the Super Bowl, I am ready to go. So if you'd like to have me speak at your church, your business, your school, your conference, or any other event, or maybe host your function or event, please contact Hannah at 856-315-1397, or you can send an email, team@robmaddi.com. That's team@robmaddi.com. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. We are so grateful for the sponsorship. So many great people. Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Restelli Foods Group, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. I want to thank all of our listeners and followers. A big thanks to all of our guests. As always, thank you so much for coming on the show. Big thank you to Doug Horton for handling all the business side. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, and blog. Jim Henderson for his work behind the scenes. Thank you to our producer, Ryan, 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Joy FM Sports, for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Maddi, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.